Thank you, Tom. I figured you would appreciate the short reading. The rest of Acts, the readings are quite long, so enjoy it while you can. Let's continue with prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together in your presence and in your name to give you worship and glory and honor, because you alone deserve it. And Lord, as we come, we know that you are here, that your Spirit is here working among us. And so, Lord, I ask that your Spirit would speak, that your Spirit would speak to me and through me, that your Spirit would speak to all of us, that you would open our hearts and our minds to you, to your truth, and that we would hear your truth and that we would live your truth, Lord, not just hear it and go home and say, oh yeah, I learned something, but that we would live out the truth of your word in our lives daily. So we thank you and we praise you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, there was an old TV on commercial. This kid gets caught stealing something, and when his dad comes, his dad starts reaming him out, saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing something so stupid, something so wrong? And the line that came out of this commercial was the kid turns and looks to his dad and says, but dad, you steal satellite. And it was the worst commercial because it was so bad. But the point of the commercial was people were stealing satellite or Wi-Fi, and so they're trying to teach people that stealing satellite signal or stealing Wi-Fi or downloading music is wrong, that it's still stealing. But the commercial was so bad, people only remembered that line, but dad, you steal satellite. But I think more so than teaching people that stealing satellite was bad, I think it reminded a lot of people that somebody is always watching you. This kid was watching his dad. This kid saw what his dad did and thought, his dad steals satellite, so I can steal something from the store and it's not that big a deal. And it was a reminder for a lot of people that someone is always watching us. A lot of time it's our kids. If you have kids, our kids are watching and they see everything we do. Sometimes it's our friends or acquaintances. Sometimes it's just random strangers. They see us and how we act or interact with the people at Starbucks or at the restaurants. But it was a reminder that somebody is always watching us. And I think Jesus was reminding the people who were listening to his Sermon on the Mount that someone is watching them. But unlike Asian parents who tell us, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, instead of like Asian parents who give us a laundry list of all the things that we should do or shouldn't do, Jesus says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Do you see what Jesus said? He doesn't say, you should try harder. You should be nicer. He doesn't say, you should do this list of things that I'm telling you to do and not do the things on the other list of things we shouldn't do. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. But what does that mean? When we think of salt, we think of stuff that we buy in the stores and put into salt shakers and put on our food. We throw it, in the rest of Canada, they throw salt all over the road to melt the ice. And we wonder how the salt that we're used to could lose its saltiness. But in Jesus' time, they didn't have manufactured salt like what we have. They got their salt from evaporated seawater from the Dead Sea. And that salt was not pure. It was mixed in with other minerals. And so that salt could actually, the saltiness could be covered up by the other minerals, and in effect, it would be like the salt had lost its saltiness. For us, salt doesn't lose its saltiness. And for us, a good salt, proper salt, pure salt, goes a long way. It can be used to season our food and make things taste better. Someone once said that Koreans, when we cook, if the food tastes bad, we make it spicier. We put in more spices and make it hotter. But Westerners, when they cook, if it tastes bad, they put in more salt. A little bit of salt goes a long way in terms of changing the taste and making things taste better. But salt can also be used as a preservative. They didn't have refrigerators back then, so they salted things to make things last longer. Basically pickling. They would salt their meats. They would salt their vegetables. They would salt things to make it last longer. So good salt, when it comes in contact with things, with the food, it can make it taste better, it can make it last longer. It has a good impact on the food that it's coming in contact with. But salt that's no longer, that doesn't have that saltiness, when it comes in contact with food, is pretty much useless. It doesn't make it taste any better. It doesn't help preserve it. And that's why Jesus is saying, we are the salt of the earth. The next thing that Jesus says is in verses 14 and 15, where he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Note, again, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you should be the light of the world. You need to act harder at being the light in this world. You need to do a better job of being light. He doesn't say that. He says, you are the light of this world. Light a candle in a room with no lights or windows in the middle of the night, and that light, that small little light, goes a long way in brightening that room. It changes that dark, scary, unknown room into something much more bearable, into something much brighter. Add several candles, and all of a sudden, that dark, scary room is no longer dark or scary. The dark has been driven out by all of these candles that have been lit. Remember, back then, they didn't have flashlights or even electric lights in Jesus' time. They had candles and lanterns and torches. But these little lights were enough to brighten up the dark, to brighten up their houses. A couple of weeks ago, after the Copa session with Journey Home, I went home to a pitch black house. The power had gone out, and Kate had taken the kids to her mom's place because her mom's place, the power was out, but at least they have a gas stove, so it was warmer than our place. I have to admit, when I walked in, it was kind of creepy because the street lights were out, it was pitch black, and all I had was my cell phone flashlight. So I had to like navigate through the house. I couldn't even open the garage. I had to navigate through the house with this little light until I found a flashlight. And then with the flashlight, it's like, okay, I feel a little bit better. And then as I was going, I had to find a lantern. And then once I found the lantern, it's okay. Now I feel safe. Now I feel comfortable. Just put the lantern in the middle of the room, turn it on, and it's all good. I was amazed at how much light came from my little cell phone. But I was more amazed at how much more comfortable I got when that bigger light was there in that room. I could see everywhere I wanted to see because that light was so much bigger and brighter. And that little light replaced the darkness, changed the dark, scary room into a much brighter place because that little light drove out the dark. The little light was enough to light the whole main floor of our house. And a little salt is enough to add flavor to food and to preserve it. Salt and light are difference makers because both of them affect what it comes in contact with. And as Christians, we are the salt and light of this world. And we are called to be salt and light in this world, to be difference makers in this world. Jesus told us that we are salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's who we are. Because Christ is in us, because Christ lives in us and reigns in us and dwells in us, that is who we are. We are salt and light in this world. It's not we have to try harder to be salt. It's not we have to try harder to be light. When Christ dwells in us, we are the salt and light of this world. And as salt and light in this world, our lives should be impacting those around us. We should be making a difference in the lives of those that we come in contact with. The lives of those whose paths we cross. We bear witness to God through the light of Christ shining through us into this world by being salt and light in this world. That's why Jesus said in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, Jesus knew that our light shining in this world wasn't necessarily going to change people to follow Jesus. He doesn't say, shine your light, be light and salt and light in this world, and people will come to faith in him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much we are salt and light in this world, we can't make somebody believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean we don't do anything. We still let the light of Christ shine in us and through us into this world so that God can use us in this world still. Because as we let the light of Christ shine through us, it should bring people to glorifying God. It should bring people to glorifying the Heavenly Father. It may not necessarily bring them to saving faith in Christ, but as they see the light of Christ shine in us, they should be going, wow, there's something different about that person. Wow, this God that they believe in, there must be something real about them because the way who they are, what they do is so different from the rest of this world. It's not our job to convert people, to make them believe in Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But it is our job to be the salt and light in this world, to be different in this world. Not hold up, not isolating ourselves from the world, but out in this world, being salt and light in this world. Being difference makers, not because we try harder, not because we're doing things right, but because we're letting Christ shine through us into this world. But in order for Christ to shine through us into this world, that means we have to have Christ in us so that Christ can shine through us. That means not trying harder to be nice, not trying harder to do all the things I should be doing, but that means deepening our relationship with Jesus. It means spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, so that when we go into this world, our light shines. That light being Christ in us shines into this world. Being difference makers also means we don't run away and avoid society. It means we don't run and hide from non-Christians. It doesn't mean we hole up inside the walls of our church and close the doors and don't let anybody in. It means we're out in this world, engaging the world, but not being changed by the world. It means we're out in the world, changing this world because we are shining the light of Christ into this world. It doesn't mean we spend 5 days in church, 5 days a week at church and consider ourselves holy because we're here all the time. It means we engage our neighbors, our coworkers, classmates, strangers, and we shine the light of Christ whenever we engage them. It means working and living in this world without becoming like this world, and instead shining the light of Christ differently into this world. So I think part of the problem is often, rather than us shining the light of Christ in this world, we let the world change us. We let the world tell us what we should be doing. We let the world tell us what's right, what we believe, rather than shining the light of Christ into this world and changing it. I have a theory about roommates. I think I've told it to you guys before. I call it my lowest common denominator theory. I'm not very good at math, but I remember that term, and I call it my lowest common denominator theory. And my theory is when you have a bunch of roommates who live together, unless one of them is a total neat freak, everyone will come down to the level of the laziest person. Because nobody wants to do more work than the other people. So if you've got a person who's like this lazy, and another one here, another one here, eventually these people all come down to this person's level. Because at first, these people will clean. And then they start going, well, why isn't this guy cleaning? Sorry, it's usually a guy. Sometimes it's a girl. But these people start going, why isn't this guy cleaning? Why am I doing all this extra work? And so what ends up happening is these people come down to the level of this person. And before you know it, the house is a mess. And the house is as messy as this person is willing to let it get messy. If you're fortunate or if you're clean and you have other people who are clean, then the house only gets to this level of messiness, which is pretty good. But if you don't have, if you're not that clean, if you're the messy one and you're okay with a really messy house, then the house usually comes down to this level of clean. People don't like doing more work than someone else, especially if they think it's unfair. So instead of one person cleaning up for everyone else, they come down to the level of the level of laziness of the laziest person. Problem is, I think this often happens with Christians when we engage the world. We don't particularly like the fact that others seem to do whatever they want. We don't like being the odd person out and saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that. We don't like things being unfair. We often think it's unfair for Christians because non-believers can do whatever they want. And so oftentimes we come down to their level. And when we let the world change us, we stop being salt and light in this world. See, being difference makers means we live in the world, but we're not changed by the world. We change the world. That changing the world isn't always big and glamorous. That changing the world isn't always something we see. But as salt and light in this world, it means we stand up against the things that Jesus would stand up against. It means we stand up against oppression and injustice. Whether in the form of human trafficking or bullying or some other form, we stand up against oppression and injustice. It means instead of retreating into our safe little corners, we stand up for the weak and powerless. It means instead of hiding out in our churches, we go out into this world and we live our faith in the world, not just on Sundays, not just with our church friends, but every minute of every day, whether that's at work or at school or a coffee shop or with non-Christians. It means we live out our faith in everything we do. It means more than just saying we're Christian. It means actually living out Christ in us and letting the light of Christ shine out through us. The people who follow the crowd take the easy way, and they don't become difference makers. It's the ones that stand out from the crowd, the ones who go different way, the ones that are different, that become the difference makers. Similarly, the people who hide out from the world don't become difference makers, because who are they going to change? Who are they going to affect? It's those that engage the world yet resist it that become the difference makers. See, we should be shaping and moving this world, not being shaped and moved by it. Because there was a time when Christians were people of influence in the world because they engaged the world and were difference makers. Some of the greatest leaders in history were Christian. Abraham Lincoln, who fought against slavery, was a Christian. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German theologian during the Nazi regime. While many German ministers and pastors supported Hitler, some because they thought Hitler was actually right, but many because they wanted to spare their jobs and their lives. They wanted life to be easy. They followed along with Hitler and supported him. Bonhoeffer was one of the few Christians in Germany who actually spoke up against Hitler. Not only did he speak up against Hitler, he was one of the founding members of the Confessing Church that disagreed with Hitler. And he left Germany for a few years, but he came back to fight the culture that he knew was wrong. He would remind people that the head of the church was Christ, not the Führer, not Hitler, but Jesus Christ. He even started an underground seminary for Christians who disagreed with Hitler so they could be trained as pastors. And because he opposed Hitler, he was arrested and detained and eventually executed 23 days before the Nazis surrendered. But Bonhoeffer was a difference maker. We still talk about Bonhoeffer today. Who of us can name any of those other German pastors who followed along with Hitler? We're called to be difference makers and be change makers in this world. That's not because we try harder. That's not because we do the right things and we don't do the wrong things. It's because we have Christ in us and we let the light of Christ shine out through us. Korean-American theologian Sung-Chan Ra says, "The positive behavior of Christians in society results in a more positive perspective on God's people by the larger society, as well as bring to it shalom and welfare." Maybe people think so badly about Christians because we're not shining the light of Christ in this world. Maybe people in this world think badly of Christians because we're following along with this world and we're no different. Or maybe they think badly of Christians because we've gone another way and we're not actually shining the light of Christ, but we're doing what we want instead. When we're engaging the society and a positive influence on the society, we bear a positive witness to Christ. See, if Jesus had done what the people wanted him to do, or what would have been easy for him to do, he wouldn't have made much of a difference. He wouldn't have made much of a difference at all, but he didn't do that. He didn't take the easy way. He didn't do what the people wanted him to do. He did what his heavenly Father wanted him to do. And he changed the course of human history. No other person has had more of an impact on human history than Christ, because he was a difference maker. And as followers of Christ, we are called to be difference makers as well. Being difference makers starts with making with Christ in us. We can't do anything on our own. We can't go out and change this world because we try harder, because we've got better arguments. It doesn't work like that. When's the last time you argued with somebody and brought them to faith because your argument was better than theirs? All we can do is have Christ in us and let Christ shine through us into this world. That's why when Jesus was returning to heaven, he said to his disciples in Acts 1:4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus knew that the disciples couldn't go into the world and do much without the Holy Spirit. And so he told them, wait for the Holy Spirit to come on you, and then you can go out and the Holy Spirit will work through you. And that's why we're told in Acts 2, 1-4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, when they went out and became difference makers because the Spirit was upon them, because the light of Christ was in them, shining out through them. We don't need to try to be difference makers. We don't need to try harder. We need to let the light of Christ shine through us. We need to be the new creation that Christ has made us and let his light shine through us. And who knows who's watching when that light is shining through? And who knows the impact that has on people? Because we don't always know who's watching. We don't always know who is seeing us and learning from us or taking note of what we are doing. But that's why we have to be salt and light in this world all the time. Story goes, many years ago, there was a little village on a rocky seacoast where storms often battered the sea and seas were ever treacherous. Many ships were driven onto the rocks by the storms, and the lives of many sailors were lost because of the raging seas. One day, the people decided among themselves that they would establish a lighthouse and life-saving station on a little peninsula on the coast to warn ships away from the rocks and to save the lives of those who were cast into icy waters. They approached the government and began to secure
within a few short years, people came. One day, someone suggested that since they all spent so much time at the lighthouse, they should gather there occasionally and enjoy good fellowship. And soon they began to get together, and then more often at the lighthouse. In fact, many people built their own homes near the lighthouse. Then, when the lookout sounded the alarm, they were ready. They were there, ready to go out. Next week, spend so much time there.
Walls were painted, floors to discuss, guys to bare concrete, a fine kitchen was installed with speaking, the lighthouse became a nice place to spend your time, waiting for the alarm to be sounded. Everything about the lighthouse was made comfortable and nice. The lighthouse soon became the center of life in the little town. As storms have blown in for years, many ships were tossed on the jagged rocks, and the men at the lighthouse spent Thank you. I'm just loud, so I thought I was still. Many ships were tossed on the jagged rocks, and the men at the lighthouse spent long hours picking sailors from the bitter, cold, icy waters and taking them to the lighthouse, where they were fed and provided with dry clothing. This had happened many times over the years, but this time, after the storm subsided and the sailors had all left the lighthouse, there were some men who were angry. It seems the storm had made them leave the comfort of the lighthouse and go out into the wet, dangerous sea. And they got cold, very cold. The sailors, when they were delivered to the lighthouse, soiled the carpets. The kitchen was a mess, not to mention the stove. After a brief meeting, it was first decided that sailors, when they were brought to the lighthouse, should be taken to the basement, not to the nice upper areas. Sometime later, another storm blew in, and about half of the men went out in the boats and again picked sailors from the frigid waters. This time, the ship, which had broken apart on the rocks, was from another nation, and the men who manned her spoke another language, and even worse, were of a different color. After this storm, a few more men joined those who refused to enter the sea. They decided that men like these did not belong in the lighthouse at all. Some said they felt that the lighthouse's job was not supposed to be saving sailors from other lands because they were so much different. There were those two who objected to leaving the comfort of the lighthouse to go out into the storm. These men petitioned the government, and they also agreed. So finally, it was decided that the beacon would be kept lit, but the rescue work would be discontinued. A small group disagreed, however, and went down the coast a short distance and started a new lighthouse. The small group decided they should establish the biggest life-saving station on the little peninsula, so they did. Every day they warned ships and sometimes attempted to save lives from the icy water. Fame of the new lighthouse grew, and the lighthouse back up the bay eventually turned out its beacon. Some people say the beacon can still be seen today in you and I. Oh yes, they also say the small group running the new lighthouse were those once rescued from the raging sea. So we don't always know who's watching us. We don't always know the impact what we say or do might have on somebody who sees us. If those group of people had not saved those sailors would not have wanted to continue saving other sailors. But that group that saved those sailors may not even realize they saved them, and that group went on to do this other work. And I think a lot of times that happens with us. We don't always realize, or we don't always see the fruit of us being salt and light in this world, and we get discouraged. We start off as salt and light in this world. We want to be like Jesus. We want to share Jesus with this world. But then we get discouraged because we don't see the fruits of it. And over time, we turn in on ourselves and we say, hey, let's just hang out ourselves. But if we hang out ourselves, in essence, we are losing our saltiness. That's why Jesus tells us to be salt and light in this world, to go out into this world and let the light of Christ shine into this world. We may not see the fruit of it immediately. We may not know whose life we have impacted until we get to heaven. But we are following and obeying Jesus when we do that. I don't know about you guys, but I've had times where people have come up to me, sometimes friends, sometimes people, like acquaintances, sometimes people I don't really know who come up to me and like, hey, do you remember when you said this? And I'm like, oh no, what did I say? I'm gonna get in trouble. And I, what? No, not really. They're like, you know, I really needed to hear that. And I'm like, really? Praise God, that wasn't me. I don't remember saying that. I really don't remember ever saying that. But those times encourage us to keep going and being salt and light in this world. Because otherwise we start thinking, oh, it's not making a difference. We're not doing anything and it's not making a difference. But whether we see the impact we're making or not, people are watching. And it is making an impact. Go and be difference makers. Go and be salt and light in this world. So that when people see us, they will glorify God. Because they see something in us that is different from what this world has to offer. But if what we offer is the exact same thing as this world, why would they want to come to us? Why would they want to come to Jesus? But when we offer them Jesus, why would you not want to come to Jesus? Go and be difference makers. Go and be salt and light in this world. Don't just hang out in this church. Don't just hang out with your friends, people who are like you, where it's comfortable. But go out and be salt and light in this world. Be difference makers for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we know it's not easy to be salt and light in this world. We know this world tries to knock us down and tries to make us like them. But you've told us, clear as day, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of this world because you are in us. So, Lord, we need your Spirit to lead us and guide us. We need your Spirit to give us the boldness to go into this world and stand firm as salt and light in this world. So, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to be difference makers for you? To not be changed by this world, but to go and change this world for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us rise and